Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and happy 2015, the first show on City of Champions Radio of the new year. I'm Matt Geica, co-editor at City of Champions, as well as your regular host here at City of Champions Radio. Thanks again to Blog Talk Radio for providing the platform. Looking forward to another year of great sports talk. Here we have the Berg Brew interview, the first of the series for 2015. And on the coldest day of the winter, we're going to heat up by the hot stove and talk some Pittsburgh Pirates. We haven't discussed the local baseball team in quite some time, at least not at length here on the network. So we're going to alleviate that. We're going to fix that on this Wednesday morning if you're listening live. And if you're not, we appreciate, of course, you tuning in the archive system. If you want to call in right now and you're listening, the number is 818-668-5412, but just standing by and listening to the conversation is certainly just fine with me. I'd like to introduce our guest for today. As I mentioned, it's the Berg Brew interview. Never really designated what the Berg Brew is. I guess it could be coffee in the morning and beer in the afternoon and evening, whatever you want. But just about 15 or 20 minutes with some folks who we find interesting here at City of Champions Radio. And I can think of really no one better to talk Pirates baseball with than my guest at this time. He was a reporter up in the Youngstown area when I was working for the Youngstown Phantoms hockey team. A few years back, he reported for the Youngstown Vindicator and as well as the Tribune Chronicle up in Northeast Ohio. Now he is with my hometown newspaper, the Weirton Daily Times and the Steubenville Herald Star, where he is a sports writer and a photographer. He's a West Virginia University graduate and a huge Pirates and baseball fan. His name is Matt Peasley. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Matt, thank you for having me. And when it comes to the Berg Brew, I think it's I'm not a coffee drinker, and I think it's too early for a beer. So I'm going to go with hot herbal tea. That sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, that does sound delicious. And anything hot, really, I guess, on this morning where it's about 10 degrees in Pittsburgh. I'm guessing it's about the same across the border in West Virginia where you are. But, Matt, first of all, just to get across how big of a baseball fan you are, you had a pretty significant life event last month down at PNC Park. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, I popped the question to my girlfriend of 4 years right at PNC Park, center field gate underneath the big hand of the great one, Roberto Clemente. So, yeah, that's kind of almost every guy's dream, I think, to propose at a baseball stadium. Now, mind you, I did not do it during a game, obviously, because, for one, it's December, and for two, I think my girlfriend would have killed me and said no on the spot. She doesn't like all that attention. So, luckily, we were still able to kind of share our love of baseball. We actually met at PNC Park in 2010.
Oh.
Just ran a mutual friend of ours introduced us at a Pirate game, I believe it was in April of 2010. Here's how much I remember. April of 2010, they were playing the Braves, Jason Hayward's rookie year, and it was also Andrew McCutchen canvas wrap giveaway. So so she can't get mad at me for forgetting our first encounter, I guess you could say. And, yeah, she loves baseball just as much as I do. We try to go to as many Pirate games as we can over the past 4 years. We've gone on a lot of cool baseball trips. We went to New York City to see the Pirates play the Yankees, and Chicago to see them play the Cubs, to Atlanta to see the Braves. So it's very cool that we could kind of share our love of baseball. And I know you could do this with your wife now, but it's just great to have a significant other who appreciates and loves the sport as much as we do. And, to do it at PNC Park, kind of where we all met and where we spend our summers, and just both of our love of the Pirates was kind of significant for us to have the big proposal right at PNC Park a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was just terrific to see. I think I saw it on Facebook first, so excellent stuff. Congratulations again on that. And yeah, I'm similarly lucky with my wife who grew up around minor league baseball up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, so she's used to the game, and she loves the game. And we've gone a few places. Went to Miller Park 2 seasons ago to see the Pirates play the Brewers. That was a good time. We've gone to Cincinnati as well, And, yeah, it's certainly, well, they call it America's pastime for a good reason, because it's a great place to spend some time at the ballpark. And I can think of no better place to be than PNC Park in the summer or in the winter, as it turns out for you, I guess. So before we get into some Pirates talk here, Matt, I know that I've seen some video podcasting, some video shows, I guess, you've done with your colleagues there at the Herald Star, Daily Times. I think I saw you discussing the Pirates late in the baseball season this past summer. What is that all about, and are you guys going to continue that for the new year?
Sure. It's kind of something we started actually around this time last year. Myself and the news editor of the Herald Star and Daily Times, his name's Fred Rosano, a big Pirates fan just like me, older guy, so that's kind of like our spin on. We take the older view of baseball, kind of my younger view of baseball too. Each week we do a video podcast. It's found on hsconnect.com or weirddailytimes.com. Just kind of something where we recap the Pirates event of the week. Obviously kind of slow this time in winter, but we haven't got on to do a show. But during the season, we'll do one podcast a week, and like I said, just discuss our thoughts on the Pirates. And it's been fun this past year, obviously, because we kind of saw some highs and lows throughout the season. Doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. Doesn't look like they're going to get 500 and could clear that hump and obviously get back to a wild card playoff game. But we try to do some fun stuff too. Each week we also bring in kind of a Pirates item that's special to us. I mean, I have so many promotional giveaways stacked up in my house and programs from over the years. So, and he's got stuff from the 70s and Forbes Field. He brought in a ball he caught at Forbes Field when he was a little kid. So each week we bring in kind of a, we call it Bucko Banner show and tell item, where we just talk about a Pirates thing that's special to us. And when our next season gets heated up, there'll definitely be a lot more of those show-and-tell items. And we went to Pirate Fest a couple weeks ago to get some video. We actually got to sit down with a couple Pirates and get some interviews that we're going to add into the show this year. So, it's kind of fun. Our viewership grew over the year as the season went on, so that was pretty cool to see people actually tuning into us and getting our view of it. But, just two big Pirates fans just kind of discussing the Bucks like we are today.
Exactly, and yeah, we look forward to seeing that get restarted for 2015. And yeah, as you said, Matt, getting to the Pirates and where the state of the team stands right now as we are in the first week of 2015. 2014 was an up and down year. It wasn't quite like 2013 when the Pirates played tremendous baseball over the first half. And even though I think some among the fan base, maybe of the more pessimistic nature, thought that they were going to find a way to collapse in 2013, it was essentially impossible once they got to a certain point and so far above 500. But 2014 was definitely different, with some struggles out of the gate and really an up-and-down summer all the way until September, when they had one of, if not the best records in Major League Baseball to clinch that second consecutive playoff berth. They haven't won a division yet since 1992, and they haven't finished on top of the NL Central, obviously, over the last 2 years. But two times in the playoffs, back-to-back seasons, it's tough for Pirates fans and followers to complain about that. When you look at the offseason so far, Matt, just looking at it on the whole, do you think that the team has gotten better? Do you like it better this offseason, that is, than last winter when I think I would say I was a little bit disappointed with what the Pirates did between 2013 and 14. I feel a little bit better about this time around. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten any worse, that's for sure. And it kind of could be argued going into the season last year that because the Pirates kind of didn't ride their momentum and bring in a big splashy free agent of any sort last year, that they could have gotten worse, experienced a drop-off from 2013 to 2014, but and they really haven't done that so far this year either, but I do think it can be said that they did get better. But losing one of the best catchers in the game for the past 2 years, and Russell Martin, is obviously a big blow. But I think bringing in Francisco Cervelli, who's kind of looking for his breakout year, actually his first chance to start on a regular basis for a team is a good sign for the Pirates. He's said to have the same intangibles and the same attributes as Martin in the way he handles the pitching staff and his defensive play. And he hasn't really played a full season in the big leagues because he's gotten hurt over the past few years. But when he's in there, his bat's pretty solid for a catcher too. And I was just looking up, since Jason Kendall left the Pirates, I believe it was 2005, there's been almost 20 different catchers behind the plate for the Pirates. And so not only, when you lose Russell Martin, you just lose consistency of having a solid everyday catcher back there. Obviously, he turned into one of the best offensive, defensive, and all-around catchers in the game these past 2 years. And it's a lot more that can be said than Robinson Diaz or Jason Jaramillo or Eric Fryer of the past few years. I mean, the Pirates have had some really, really forgettable Pirates, if you want to call them, behind the plate. So just to have the consistency of a solid catcher back there was a huge benefit, and now it's a huge blow to the Pirates that they don't have that anymore. But like I said, I think Francisco Cervelli comes in and will do a solid job. And obviously the other big name is the guy they got at first base in Corey Hart, which has kind of surprised me. I know they've been kind of shopping Pedro Alvarez around, and obviously they moved him to first base from third base after his defensive struggles. But I like this Corey Hart signing. He's still kind of in his prime of his career, even though he kind of dropped off from the Brewers to the Mariners the past year. But he's 32 years old, and I think he's got just as much potential to break out in the power department as Pedro Alvarez does. Last year, Hart had over 30 home runs. I think it was 2012 or 2013 he had 30 home runs, and that's kind of when Pedro went on his big power production of over 30 home runs too. So I think it's going to be a good competition for them too. I don't know if you want to call it a platoon. I think the starting job is locked up for Pedro just because of his homegrown talent and his potential there. But I think Corey Hart's a nice intriguing brought in to pace Pedro, and ultimately maybe he can try to win the starting job after a few months.
How seriously do you think the Pirates are shopping Pedro Alvarez? I've seen some reports from the Pittsburgh media to that effect. And I got to say, I'm kind of surprised because I figured they would want to see at least how he handled first base on a long-term basis. He only had a couple of games before he had that sprained foot in August of this past year. He was just getting into playing first base. And then, of course, his season was scuttled by the injury. And now you bring in Corey Hart, as you mentioned. That complicates things. It appears that Josh Harrison's going to be given the third base spot to start the 2015 season. So it does look a little bit crowded, doesn't it? And I know Corey Hart can play some outfield, but at the same time, it almost feels like things are angling toward Pedro leaving Pittsburgh before his contract expires.
Yeah, I guess you could say kind of surprising. That's why I'm not certain. I mean, there could be something going on behind closed doors. I mean, one of the biggest concerns I've just heard from Pirates fans about Pedro Alvarez over the past 3 or 4 years is kind of his attitude. He always keeps the same almost smug attitude about how he handles third base. I mean, I've never really seen him smile or laugh or anything. Not that that's a huge deal or anything, but it really could be just kind of wearing on the Pirates organization that maybe there is something going on in his head. I mean, we were told that this throwing problem he had from third base to first base was all mental, and maybe he just got fed up with last year and said something that struck a chord with the organization to kind of get him out of there, or it just could be a sign to motivate him. Maybe the Pirates do know what he brings to the table and why they drafted him first in the first round a couple years ago, and why they want him to be the guy for the power department. But I think it was just maybe a move to kind of light a fire under him, realizing that, okay, Pedro, you're going to be our guy. We're trading, or we're getting rid of Mike Davis. We're getting rid of Gabby Sanchez. You're going to be our guy. But we're still going to see what we can get out of you, but you're not irreplaceable. So maybe it was a way just to show Pedro that, hey, if you can't cut it here, good luck doing it somewhere else. But apparently there weren't too many nibbles on him from the rest of the major league teams to jump on him. So I think he's going to stay in Pittsburgh at least for the next year, kind of give him, like you said, give him a chance to develop at first base as a first baseman, because it's not as easy as I'm sure people think it is just to move from third to first. I mean, this guy's been playing third base for probably so many years in the minor leagues and now in the major leagues. So it's a tough transition, but I say I'd at least say give him a year to see what he can do defensively and offensively and go from there for him. I mean, when they brought in Sean Rodriguez in December, I kind of thought that was the piece that would pace Pedro, whether it be at first, but Rodriguez is a versatile guy who can play other infield positions and in the outfield. But I think by bringing in Corey Hart, a new guy who's shown to be a power guy at first base, it's maybe hopefully light a fire under Pedro even more.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of the reasoning there. And you're right, I was remiss in not mentioning that Ike Davis and Gabby Sanchez are both out of the organization. So that did give Pedro the go-ahead, so to speak, at least in terms of roster construction, to man first base. But then the Corey Hart signing, so maybe the Pirates not wanting Alvarez to get too comfortable. The one thing that I will say about the position change, it's a shame that one of the better arms in the big leagues in Alvarez is going to be wasted, but if you can't put it on the target, then a strong arm does you no good. And as we saw that last year, that it all went downhill for Alvarez past a certain point, and he could not recover. So with Josh Harrison playing good defense at third base like he did late in the season, and if Josh can maintain that production, at least maybe 75-80% of what we saw last year, I think the Pirates are pretty set at that corner of the infield. Let's talk outfield, Matt, and that's the one spot that is probably sure to make Pirates fans smile, as you have the 2013 MVP and 2014 MVP finalist in Andrew McCutchen manning center field for at least the next few years. Starling Marte, one of the more exciting athletic players in the big leagues, in left. And then Gregory Polanco, a guy you can definitely dream on there. I think at this point, Andrew McCutchen, late in his 20s, we know what we have in him in Pittsburgh. But what's your feel on which of the two corner guys, Polanco, who has played a lot less in the big leagues as compared to Marte, or Starling Marte, which are you the highest on? Who do you think can make the biggest difference and potentially rival McCutchen in terms of value over the next several seasons?
Just from what we've heard about Gregory Polanco for the past 2 or 3 years as he was coming up in the minor league system, and even what he did in the early part of 2014 with Indianapolis, just the way he dominated throughout his entire development. And he comes up to Pittsburgh and does that for a week or two, but obviously has those growing pains of just developing into a major league hitter. I think I'm still high on Gregory Polanco to what he can and what the player he can develop into. He's shown that at every level of the minor league system that he can be not only just a solid player in the field and at the plate, but really a guy that could dominate a league. He finishes with a .235 batting average last year with only 7 home runs, but I think he's going to turn the corner this year. Can't really say he's going to have a sophomore slump, because he kind of had his sophomore slump midway through his first year as a freshman in the major leagues. I think he still has the highest ceiling out of between him and Starling Marte. I like what Marte's done over the past few years as just a nice complementary piece in the outfield. And when I was talking about the kind of holes we've had at catcher over the past 10 years, we've kind of had that same problem in the outfield where we haven't had a surefire outfielder in a while. I mean, it's always been either Brian Giles in left field and really nobody else to ride home about in the outfield. But I think Polanco will turn into the type of player we all think he's going to be. I know that he said at Pirate Fest just how much more he's worked in the offseason this year than he has in his past 5 or 6 years in the minor leagues. He's been in the Dominican Republic with Starling Marte working out together. So that's a good sign that they're working out together in the offseason, just trying to get better and living up to both of their potentials. And it's just been nice. I mean, we saw the glimpse of the outfield of the future with Marte, McCutchen, and Polanco midway through the season last year, and we're going to be blessed in Pittsburgh to have those three for at least the next 2 or 3 years together. So I think it really could develop into one of the best outfields in baseball.
Yeah, pretty shocking, actually, to see that Polanco's batting average drop that far, but I'm pretty confident just judging by the talent. Like you said, his track record at every level. The big leagues, of course, the toughest level to conquer, but at the same time, we did see some real flashes from Polanco, and even though at certain points in the season he also seemed to struggle defensively, he's got the range, and he's got the speed that can be refined into, I think, one of the better defenders in the big leagues, too. So at some point, maybe in the near future, the Pirates could have three guys who could all feasibly man center field. And of course, at PNC Park, left field is essentially a second center field, so I don't have an issue with the current alignment with Marte over there. Boy, can he cover some ground. And probably has even better instincts in the outfield than McCutchen, I would say, just from my eye. We're talking to Matt Peasley about the Pittsburgh Pirates here on this cold January day on City of Champions Radio. This is the Berg Brew Interview. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Matt Gajka, co-editor at City of Champions. Check us out at cityofchampionsports.com. Let's look at the pitching staff, Matt, and really pleased to see that the Pirates were able to bring back Francisco Liriano for a pretty nice discount, actually. A 3-year deal for Liriano, who now in his early 30s, probably not going to get any better than he has been the last 2 years, but for my money, I think when he's on, I'm not sure there are many pitchers better in the big leagues, especially as far as getting swings and misses. I think he had the best swing and miss rate among starting pitchers who qualified for the ERA title last year, and he was the same in 2013, if not even a tick better, when he just had a historic season against left-handed batters especially. So Liriano, a guy you can put near the top, if not at the top, of your rotation. They get him below market value. That was a pleasant surprise. And then A.J. Burnett comes calling back. It's nice to see Pittsburgh be a destination. And for a guy like Burnett, who maybe has 1 year left in him, as he says, this is going to be it. And I guess we've heard that before from him in the past. But we'll take him at his word for right now, as he's a couple more years down the line. But if he gets maybe 75-60% of what he gave you in 2013, suddenly this rotation is definitely looking a little bit deeper than it was at the end of 2014.
Yeah, I love the fact that they were able to bring in Liriano. I mean, 3 years, $39 million. I believe they said that was one of the biggest free agent contracts the Pirates have ever given out to somebody, and obviously just a rightful candidate to do that. It's good that the Pirates were still aggressive in the free agent market to retain Liriano. I know there was a lot of other suitors for him because even though he is getting up there, he's still only 31 years old. He's going to have at least, I'd say, 3 or 4 full seasons in there. We've been lucky that he hasn't gotten hurt that severely in the past 2 years that we've had him. And obviously he's been able to revive his career in Pittsburgh, and he can continue to do what we've relied on him to do for the past 2 years, for the next 3 years. And with A.J. Burnett, I mean, if you look at his numbers from last year, and his name's not A.J. Burnett, I could see a lot of people getting upset of why are we bringing in a guy with who led the league in losses, who led the league in walks, who had nearly a 5 ERA. But the way A.J. Burnett just welcomed himself back to Pittsburgh is unbelievable. I mean, how many times have we heard over the past decade, two decades, that players just wanting to get out of Pittsburgh? I mean, I remember Sean Burnett said something about when he was traded to the Nationals in maybe 2005 or 2006. He said, I'm so glad I'm out of the laughing stock of the league. But A.J. Burnett comes in and says the complete opposite of that. I mean, he's just been so gracious, and I've never heard a player really beam with pride about being a Pirate than A.J. Burnett. And when somebody says that about the team that you've watched for so many years and the team that you've heard so many bad things about over the past 2 decades, it's unbelievable of really just the culture change that's gone on in Pittsburgh over the past 2 years. And A.J. Burnett's kind of the poster child for that. I mean, he's the one that lifted us over the hump of 500, that helped us get back to the playoffs. And, yeah, he's like you said, a tick slower than what he has been in the prime of his career, but I still think he's going to be a solid number three, number four starter this year, and the Pirates really do have a crowded rotation up there. I mean, you still have Jeff Locke, who's chomping at the bit to make an impact at the in the rotation, and the story goes back of him and Burnett's friendship and mentorship that Burnett had with Locke, and I think he's going to thrive even more with that guidance this year. I still think Charlie Morton's waiting for that breakout season, even though he continues to get hurt. I think he said something that he had three or four surgeries in a span of 12 or in a span of a year, which is just unbelievable. And he's still going to be rehabbing from his latest surgery, and I think he'll should be back by May. And the emergence of Vance Worley last year was a pleasant surprise coming in from the Phillies to really make an impact and do what he did to lift the Pirates throughout the season. So the rotation, I think, is going to be solid. It got a little bit older, obviously, but I think that we were still able to retain the guys that we did. We do lose Edinson Volquez, but that just paves the way for a guy like Brandon Compton or somebody to still have a chance. And by the middle of the summer, we're going to have Jameson Taillon back from his Tommy John surgery. Tyler Glasnow and Nick Kingham, these arms we've been hearing about in the minor league system, finally developing and getting ready to make their major league debuts. So it's kind of exciting. There's a lot of things that could happen with the Pirates' rotation. And I think it did get better this year than what it has been the last year.
You spoke of the culture change and the change in the status of the Pirates in Major League Baseball and how drastic that's been. And it's amazing because losing can snowball on you and the momentum can get out of control that way. And then all of a sudden, if you win a few games and you get over 500, you get into the playoffs like the Pirates have, suddenly that tilts in the other direction and it builds on itself. At least that appears to be the case right now. And you know, Matt, how much of that turnaround do you attribute to the Pirates' leadership, guys like Clint Hurdle, Neil Huntington, even Frank Coonerly going all the way up to the top of the front office and Bob Nutting, the primary owner? How much credit for this turnaround do you give to guys like that who, maybe especially in Huntington and Nutting's case, took a lot of heat in the early part of this decade and the latter part of the last decade, but have come through here and have helped deliver winning baseball to Pittsburgh? It's impossible to deny that.
Yeah, I just remember the big outrage and the outcries of when Huntington came in and made so many trades at the deadline deals and just people saying, oh, you're getting away our best players and all that. I mean, yeah, they did at the time, but it's not like the Pirates were winning with them. I don't see how any of those moves could have. I mean, yeah, they were unpopular at the time, but how could they be when the Pirates were not a competitive team at all? He made so many moves that made them competitive down the road. It's still funny that Josh Harrison was kind of just like a throw-in piece of the trade that sent, I believe, Tom Gorzolani and John Graybo to Chicago, and we got two pitchers in return. Kevin Hart and some other guy who also hasn't done anything, but Josh Harrison was just a throw-in piece. And then what's he turned into is one of the most exciting players in the league last year and an all-star. And I mean, that, I don't know if that move was one of those unpopular ones that still sit in the, or that were a big outcry back then, but it was just a smart move he made and obviously paid huge dividends down the road. But anyway, just the fact that he's turned into supposedly just an aggressive guy in these trades and bringing in the right pieces in the free agent market. I mean, the Pirates are never going to be a team that spends Giancarlo Stanton money like the Marlins did a couple months ago to lock up Stanton for really his whole career with just astronomical numbers. But they're going to be smart with their money. They have been over the past 5 years under the Coonerly and Huntington regime, and it's obviously paid off. And not enough to be said about Clint Hurdle. I think he's a culture change in himself. You go from a guy like John Russell, who might have only said, I think Clint Hurdle says more in one press conference after a game that John Russell did his entire tenure with the Pirates. It's just night and day, those two, their aggressiveness that you see in the dugout. I mean, Clint Hurdle still has that bad hip, and he's still the fiery guy that he is all the time. And John Russell was, I mean, I don't know how you could get fired up playing for a guy like John Russell, but I can see how Pirates fight every day for their manager in Clint Hurdle, because just his demeanor, his way with words too. A Clint Hurdle press conference is always fun to listen to, whether they win or lose, because it seems like he says something new each time out. And I mean, I just think he'd be a fun guy to play for. I mean, it's raved about Joe Maddon of the Rays, and now with the Cubs. It would be an impact he's had to turn the Rays around, and Clint Hurdle's done that for the Pirates. So, it's definitely a new team to play for. I mean, I talked to Sean Rodriguez real quick at the Pirates caravan stop in Youngstown a couple weeks ago back in December, and just kind of asked him, like, he comes from the Rays, and just kind of asked him what the perception is of the Pirates for somebody like him, who probably 2 days before he got traded still thought he was going to be a Ray for this season. And he said people have taken notice across the league of what the Pirates have done the past 2 years, that they seem like a fun team to play for. They seem like a fun team to play for each day, and that they know that the front office and the manager is committed to winning. And I don't think you could have said that 5 years ago about the Pirates, but now players are seeing that and they want to be a part of it. So it's definitely an exciting time. Two straight years in the playoffs is just unbelievable. I mean, after we both have grown up with this team, of just what they've gone through over the past 20 years, but to go to the playoffs for 2 years in a row, our Pittsburgh Pirates is unbelievable. And they're building to do that again in 2015. It's going to be a lot tougher, not only for the Pirates, but they're going to have to play in the toughest division in baseball for another year. The Cardinals aren't dropping off anytime soon, and we see what the Cubs are doing. They're going to be a team that's going to want to contend and compete. And, yeah, everybody in this division is tough, and it's going to make it even tougher for the Pirates to kind of keep up with all of them. And I think the Pirates are going to keep doing that this year and years into the future.
As much as I'd like to see the Pirates win that NL Central, hey, as the Giants showed this year, you can be the second wild card and definitely get hot at the end and go all the way to a World Series championship. So you've just got to get in, and that's what the Pirates have done the last 2 years. It's been exciting to follow. I know I've enjoyed it. Matt Peasley, my guest for today's show, has enjoyed it once again. A sports writer and photographer for the Herald Star Daily Times out of the Steubenville-Weirton metro area, my hometown, so of course I'm biased toward that publication. But you can find Matt on Twitter at ThemPeas, that is ThemPeas. Matt, it's been a blast. Our time's up, sorry to say that, but we'll have to do this again sometime soon.
Sure thing, I appreciate it. Matt, it's been a pleasure, and enjoy that hockey for the rest of, or for a few more months, but before we know it, it'll be pitchers and catchers reporting down to Bradenton.
Yeah, my favorite time of the year is actually when those two seasons interlap, or overlap rather, and intertwine. Usually you could just count on that in the spring, but recently with the Pirates going into the playoffs, it's actually happened in the fall too. So, we will look forward to Bradenton and the Pirates getting it revved up for 2015. That's Matt Peasley. I'm Matt Gajka. This has been City of Champions Radio. And before we go, I want to remind you to take a look at City of Champions Sports. Thanks for listening, and I'm reminding you that when the radio fades, you know life's moving fast. We'll talk to you next time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.